everybody. Welcome to Nexus at Night. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rootbeer.
And joining us
is Zistral.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and nice having you on. Many people know Zistral also as a Yellow Card Vanguard on YouTube and Twitter and all that.
Great memes.
Great memes, definitely.
Thank you.
So I kind of brought you on the show mainly because of your extensive knowledge of the Link Joker clan, which is what we're going to be talking about today on the premium profile, as well as the massive rant video that you put out when Chaosbreaker was introduced.
Right, yeah. I'm a bit conflicted about that because, you know, I by no means would I call myself an amazing player. I would say I'm above average, but the amount of which I am above average is below average, if that makes sense. So like, I put myself at like the 55% level in terms of skill. So it's really weird to like, you know, to feel that I'm a decent, like, I'm better than most people, but not that much better. And to see like the wildly differing opinions, especially when it comes to like, you know, Vanguardians or like Twitter or whatever, and people going like, "Oh my god, chaos!" And I'm just sitting here going like, "Am I missing something here?
Is this card even good?"
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, that's actually how it's been for a lot of Link Joker's history. Like, you look at it and be like, "Wow, this seems amazing," and then you actually sit down and play with the card, and you're like, and then you play against like whatever's meta at the time, and you're like, "Oh, maybe not."
Fine.
Yeah. Like, I think the reason that everyone has a fear of Link Joker is because it's arguably Vanguard's only control clan.
I think control is a weird term to use, because this is a whole separate topic we could spend ages on, so I'm not going to get into it for too much, but I think the words like control, aggro, and mid-range don't apply to Vanguard, because Vanguard's a very tempo-based game, rather than, like timing and stuff like that, you know, things like deck speed and how you win the game, you know, things that usually use to categorize control and aggro don't really, like, exist in Vanguard. People just play the game. But I think the thing, you know, a better way of, like, trying to describe, I think, what your point is that Link Joker is one of the only clans in the game that stops people playing the game. I think that's what people kind of, especially for casual players, like, they're like, "Ooh, I don't like this."
Yeah, Link Joker also had kind of the first way of winning the game without actually winning the game, and
without going for 6 damage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that kind of feeds into that as well.
Yeah, like it kind of like breaks the quote unquote fundamental rules of Vanguard. Like, you know, if you're trying to teach Vanguard to a beginner, to like someone who's never played Vanguard before, Link Joker's, you can be your biggest source of headache for sure.
It's also like, because of the homogeneity of the aesthetics, the red and black rings, it looks a little scary even on a subconscious level. Especially when you start seeing like reverse cards, like, "Oh, it's a corrupting influence on the game." I don't know
Like that, it definitely, especially when you put together like the anime, and you know how it's portrayed as like, "Oh, these are the bad guys." Like, it's kind of like, you know, not right or like not normal on some fundamental, like some instinctive level.
It's got like an uncanny valley feel to it.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been playing Link Joker?
Probably, I think since it came out in English, which was like, what, 2013, 2014 ballpark sort of time frame?
I think so.
Sounds about right.
Well, that first set was like, or BT12, BT13, because, let's see. Something like that, because you got, what's his face?
I think it was BT13. I didn't pick up Nebula Lords on release.
Smart.
So actually, this is a good chance to like really quickly explain my Vanguard history. So I actually started back in like early 2012 in Japanese, like when the game first came out in Japanese. Because like, "Oh, you know, this is like, I've been playing Y Schwartz for a few months." I was like, "Oh, the guys that make Y Schwartz are making this new card game. Let's check it out." So I picked up the game in Japanese, played up to BTO3 in Japanese, and then just around that time they announced that they would bring out English Vanguard. So like, cool, I can start playing this game with my friends in English now, and they don't have to look up Japanese cards, I don't have to translate for them. And then I got told that Japanese cards can't be used in English, like with English cards. So I was like, well, this Japanese Tsukiyomi deck that I have is now worthless. So I rage quit the game. And then, you know, fast forward like a year and a half, like actually closer to 2 years, BT13 is just coming in English, and I was like, oh hey, it's Vanguard, there's that game that I quit. And one of my friends went really deep into Catastrophic Outbreak because he's an Aquaforce main, and you know, BT13 was like a breath of fresh air for Aquaforce.
Yeah, great nature too.
He went really deep into that set, and he picked up Chaosbreaker. Like, you know, he's like, Ben, check out this Chaosbreaker thing, it's really cool. I'm like, oh hey, this looks kind of interesting, what's Link Joking? He's like, oh yeah, it's this new clan, like, you know, they've only had like one set of support and a trial deck, I have some of the pieces if you're interested. I was like, yeah, I'll take a look at this. And I was flicking through the cards, and I was like, I read up what Locke does, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because, you know, when you compare it to my experience of just BT3 Tsukiyomi, like locking and then drawing was like super insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fast forward then a month later, and it's Springfest here in Europe, and you know, we're there for the whole weekend. Weiss is on day two, which is what I was originally there for, and my friend was like, dude, there's Vanguard, you might as well just come play with us anyway. And he just handed me this really, really poorly built short shell deck with two copies of Chaosbreaker, because that's all he pulled. So the lineup was three Infinite Zeros, four Schwarzschilds, and two Chaosbreakers, and that was it.
Oh,
and the thing, like, I don't remember much else about the deck other than it had one Aurora Eagle, because I remember writing down one in the deck list, and it was playing some number of stand triggers. So it was like super far from a suboptimal deck. From a, you know, it was nowhere even close to optimal. But we still somehow went, I think, like 2-2 or like 2-3 before we dropped, something like that. Like, so I won a game or two. And again, you know, this is after having not played Vanguard for over a year. And just, like reading the cards throughout the day, being like, oh, I can do this. Oh, like, you know, I can break ride and then search. You know, so like, you know, or I can choose not to do this, like based on what if I find like something in the top five or whatever from the ride chain. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, Vanguard's kind of interesting again. And so I stuck with it for a little bit more. And yeah, I kind of started from there. I was like, okay, I'll, you know, I offered to like buy the deck off of him. Bought the other two Chaosbreakers I needed. I bought the fourth Infinite Zero, did some more adjustments. And I paused Vanguard again, like, midway through Legion. Mainly because, you know, university was, like, UniWorld was stacking up, so I didn't have time to put into card games. And, you know, the constant releases, like, a Y set would release that I wanted to get. And then a month later, there'd be a Vanguard set. And then the next month, there'd be another Y set. And it'd just, you know, be this, like, huge back and forth that I just couldn't balance. And I was also playing Magic competitively at the time as well. So
oh my god.
That was another money sink.
It's a lot of TCGs. You know,
yeah. And it was tough on a student budget, I'll say that much. But you know, I kept the Vanguard stuff, and I kept it in the back of my mind. And you know, people would, like, my friend would constantly link me, like, hey man, then, you know, here's the Link Joker Legion. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. It Omega locks, that's, we haven't had that in a long time since Glendios. And he showed me, like, oh yeah, look at this grade 2, it just locks on place, that's super insane. I was like, yeah, that's super cool. And then it became, you know, TD only as a one. I was like, oh, I don't want to fucking buy 4 TDs just for this shit.
What was the, oh, was it a Photon?
Photon, yeah. But like, I'd always appreciate the fact that Link Joker was one of the few ways in the game that I could stop my opponent playing the game. Because, like I said, I'd been playing competitive Magic for a year and a bit up to that point. And in Magic, I was playing hard control from the very beginning. Like, you know, I started my Magic career started back in 2007, back in Lorwyn. So, you know, we're dealing with like blue-black fairies, and then we moved on to like the World Wake era, where I was playing, you know, blue-white, like board wipe control, and then Jace the Mind Sculptor came out, you know, like, and then Liliana of the Veil came out. Like, I just wanted, for me as a card gamer, I always have the most fun when my opponent's having the least fun. So that's kind of like the only reason, that's the main reason I play Link Joker, because when Link Joker first came out, it was all about your opponent not having fun. And it was, you know, this was doubled down on the fact that most people didn't know how to play into it very well. So I was just racking up free wins because people would just, like, you know, walk straight into getting triangle locked.
He's a sadist, but he's honest about it, so it's fine.
Yeah, like, you know, I'll ruin your day, but I'll tell you, like, I'm gonna ruin your day. I'm not gonna lie to you about it.
The strategy some people would employ against Link Joker are sometimes very interesting.
Like what?
Just like, oh, I'm just gonna drag out the game as long as possible.
Like,
and I'm like,
but why? That's like literally the point of Link Joker.
Like, yeah. People would be playing Freeze Ray and they'd be like, yeah, I'm just gonna not gonna attack him, and I'm like,
okay.
So when are you winning? what other way do you have to win the game?
My strategy was always to just go as hard as I can, as fast as I can, so that by the time they run Freeze Ray, Chaos Breaker, whatever, they were already at 4 or 5 damage, and it was, you know.
Yeah, that was generally the way to play. Like, the only way that went bad, that could go badly for you, is if they randomly hit into Short Shield, which, you know, if they were playing, then that's already a bad deck to begin with.
Feel okay.
I mean,
anyway.
Obviously, like, you know, things like only calling half a board, like, you know, leaving your left column empty but filling up your right column so that you can attack them more than they can attack you. That, like, there's like a very gentle balance that needs to be struck. Like, you know, you need to win the game, but you can't win the game too much because then they can just do whatever the hell they want. Mm. And also, it doesn't help that, you know, throughout the years, the way to beat Link Joker changed massively. Like, you know, going into, like, early G era, the way to beat them was to not call anything, like, you know, to prolong the game, because by that point Freeze Ray had phased out and they were relying on, you know, like, these garbage, like, strides, like Universe, that just did nothing half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then by mid to late G, the way to beat them was just to rush their face in because they had garbage Riz and couldn't fight back. So yeah, that's another factor why, you know, people dislike it, because it was like the way to beat it was always unintuitive and it changed every now and again. Compared to, like, you know, like Kagero, where the way to beat Kagero is just really easy, which is just pray that they don't check crits.
or against Dimension Police, which is pray they don't check grade 3s.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just have 2 PGs, what are you talking about?
No, that doesn't even work every time either. Like, Matt played Dimension Police for the longest time, and my strategy was just throw down one and be like, you know what? I'm not gonna panic over this. Just it happens or it doesn't.
Guard break sometimes, yeah. And then they'd be like, "Well, I guess, I guess one is two,
and two is one." And you know what? Just one, and hope he doesn't get it. Oh no, it was on the first one. I'm dead. Cool. Good game. Try again.
Yeah. Like it's that sort of. Yeah, going back to what I said, it's that way, you know, the ability to, like, stop your opponent from playing the game was what always could have brought me back. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you know, then Messiah became its own defined thing. Deleta became its own defined thing.
How do you feel about it?
They were different enough, but I found some interest in Messiah, so it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. I always liked Messiah, not just because of the aesthetic, where they look like these liquid metal dragons. It looked like a Five Gum commercial came to life or something.
Liquid metal dragon spaghetti noodle.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that I liked about it was it was more a multi-attack deck than it was about control. Or
early Messiahs kind of threaded the needle a bit where it did both. And yeah. Then after a while, they brought Chaos back in full, so Star Vaders became the dedicated locking archetype, and Messiah was just another rush deck.
Yeah.
And still weak to retire, because that's Link Joker's thing, it seems.
Yeah, so, like, when it first came out, I was like, wow, what's the point of self-lock? This is garbage, right? Because I'd experienced, like, you know, I was there, I'd experienced the reverse format, where people would, you know, play, like, normal reverse decks and just get shat on by Chaos. So I'm still remembering, like, I still have memories of that point. So when I got told, like, oh yeah, you lock your own rear guards, I'm just like, but then
on
I saw
purpose?
A match, I was like, yeah. But then I saw a match, I was like, okay, you know, like, I vibe with this a little bit. And then, like I said, the support for it got more well defined, like, the combos became more intricate. Like, you actually did stuff now rather than just, oh, I locked mine to lock yours, I guess.
I think it became more clear
and
to me.
And the Steam Messiah was like $100.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah.
It became more clear to me what the deck was about when someone explained to me that when you unlock cards, they come out standing no matter what they were doing when you locked them.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a lot more sense, because I think in the like original era or Legion or whatever, whenever people would lock their cards, they put them horizontally. So in my head, I'm like, oh, they come out rested. But no, they... because it comes out standing, I think also in the show they would have them be vertical.
Yeah.
And I think that made it make more sense to me.
Yeah. The thing about, like, early G Messiah is that I think it was, like, what, GBT-5? I think it was when the second wave of support came out. Like,
I think so.
That was... I think so, yeah. Like,
yeah.
That wave of Messiah support was actually really, really, like, fun to figure out the combo for, because... obviously, the card pool wasn't anywhere near as huge then. Card effects weren't anywhere near as strong. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, knowing, like, okay, I can... instead of arresting their back row, I can arrest my back row to reset my booster and, you know, do this, this, and this. And then, you know, unlock the board and, you know, get two more attacks in with the plus 5k. It was like, ooh. And, you know, again, going back to my Magic roots, whenever I can't play a deck... So, hard control is my number one go-to choice. But when hard control is not feasible, or, you know, is bad in the meta or whatever, my number two choice is combo. So for those of you that play Magic, I played Storm, I played Eggs, I played what's the other one called? Affinity, like anything that requires you to spend like 10 minutes doing a lot of stuff to yourself is like my next best choice. And then that's what kind of Messiah fulfills. Like, you know, the only deck in G that was better at self combo than Messiah was like Victor, which I also played. So, you know, that's kind of why Messiah ticked, you know, it ticked the other box for me. It was like, okay, I just get to spend 10 minutes figuring out how I'm going to approach this turn, and it's going to take you 8 attacks to guard. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, watch. Just sit back and watch.
And then
It definitely a big learning point in G mm-hmm. era specifically, when you definitely, like, when you were about to stride, you'll need to, like, think and be like, what is this turn doing before you stride, instead of just, like, mindlessly striding?
Unless you only have one good stride.
Well, that's fair. That's a reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Envious.
So, like, you...
Compared to, like, the Limit Break era, it was just like, what's your board? Oh, it's 2 12k attackers, and my Vanguard gains a crit. It's like, what? Like, now it's like, what's your board? Oh, it's this that locks this, and when this is locked, this locks. And when that locks, this becomes unlocked, and when this attacks, it unlocks. Like, it's a little bit more, like... Yeah, again, even compared to Victor, like, early Victor was what? He has 8 grade 2s that stand another rearguard, and a Sazanda.
And then just re-stand the Sazanda over and over. And
yeah.
And that's pretty much it. You're dead. Good game? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it worked. I'm not going to knock it. It worked. It was just...
simple?
Yeah. Like, compared to like, early Limit Break, even early Legion, where deck building was very easy. You know, you just played, okay, you have 4 of the Legion leader, 4 of your backup Legion... you know, 4 of the Legion mate, 4 of, like, your grade 2 attacker, 4 copies of, you know, your plussing grade 2. I mean, with Messiah, your ratios were all over the place because you had to balance things that locked, things that unlocked, things that benefited locks, things that benefited unlocks. You had a lot more moving pieces compared to, like, say, you know, an equivalent deck of the time was just Royals, right? Like, mm-hmm. G-Royals, early G-Royals especially, was just you have a bunch of search and a bunch of search targets, and that's it.
It's, I think that's, well, that's what made it weak to retire, right? Because you had stuff that benefited from locking and unlocking, but you didn't have a lot of, you know, direct searching. You would have stuff that would, like, unlock draw 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
Your Messiah grade 3 in general was end phase, soul blast draw. But it was still just drawing off the top of your deck. You didn't really have much control into what you were getting. So it was really hard to, like, turn that into a board turn after turn if your opponent was just clearing it every time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a problem that continued throughout a lot of, pretty much the entirety of Link Joker's life, the only exception being that one short period during the end of G when Clan Booster came out and we had a bunch of top three effects, but then they turned out to be bad, so whatever, lol.
I mean, you guys got the Rondo of Chaos and Galaxy Stardate, like, in quick succession.
Yeah.
Let's see, Rondo of Chaos was October 2017 December. In Japan and December in English, and then Galaxy Stardate was
March in English.
February in English, 2018. And January.
Right, end of February, early March, yeah. I remember it because that's when I cracked the case with Different Flight. Like, I went over to his place. We made a big thing out of it.
Oh, I remember that. That was a good video.
The only set that came out in between then was Zoo Booster.
Oh, Zoo Booster.
Yep.
Such a fun set, and then...
Hey, Zoo Booster did things.
It did. It did some things.
You got, like, cool Asha support.
It was fine, yeah. I just very distinctly remember testing Galaxy Stargate stuff against a friend of mine who was playing Ghidorah at the time, and, you know, this was, like, just coming off the wave of, oh my god, Ghidorah, like, you know, Overwhelm's one of the best cards ever printed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was going mad with Overwhelm power, and he was like, I remember a sentence he said to me during testing was like, nothing I do matters, because next turn you're just going to integral me. And I just remember going like, yeah. Yeah. So much for that. Yep. So much for all of what you've done.
I would be remiss if we didn't talk about deleters for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where do you land on those?
So my history with deleters is actually quite funny, because obviously they weren't around when I picked up Link Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already stopped, like, I already took a break from Vanguard when they got introduced.
Mm.
And then by the time I got back into Vanguard, which was, you know, mid-ish, like, early to mid-G, like, GBT06 time frame.
Like, early G-Guards?
Just before G-Guards, yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, so around that point was when they had just been forgotten again. So yeah, I never really had the chance to, like, explore or, like, get exposed to them very much. Until actually, like, GBT11 time frame, like, this is, like, mid to late G, so just before, yeah, I think it's, like, December, just before Worlds of that year, I was talking with a friend of mine who had qualified for Worlds, and, you know, we were saying, like, what the good decks to take to Worlds are, and, you know, we were saying, like, yeah, Overlord's gonna be good, GBT13 Overlord, Thavas, GBT13 Thavas is gonna be really good,
mm-hmm.
You know, this and this would still be really good. And he brought up deleters, and like, yeah, deleters could be good. So I was like, oh, really? I didn't know about deleters. And he's like, yeah, so there's this, and you have Given with stand triggers, and because you're not GB restricted, you can just go first, delete their Vanguard, and do stuff. And we started exploring the deck, we started testing it, and it was all right. And I realized, like, okay, yeah, this is pretty good. You know, I just don't know why I've never, like looked into it before, because it is Link Joker. Like, I should be interested in Link Joker. Never really, like, gave him the time of day. And then... Huh. But at the time, I was like, this is fine, but, like, it's whatever. Like, you know, the aesthetic is completely out there. Like, you know, instead of being, you know, cyber robots or, like, cyber dragons or, like, you know, these cool, like, space alien things, instead it was, like, these weird, ugly alien things, right? Like there's a distinction you gotta make. Like, when you compare Messiah with the Deleter. Like, they're both cool space things. Yeah. But it was, like, the aesthetic was kind of weird. So I never really, like... I wasn't like, man, this looks super cool. I was like, this looks alright, but it looks kind of creepy. And the gameplay style was completely out there as well. Like, it focused on binding face down and deleting your opponent's Vanguard. And sure, the later bits of support ended up locking stuff. Like, you know, the Legion pair, the Legion mate, you know, would lock something, your opponent's Vanguard was deleted. Which is, like, cool, I guess. But it didn't really, like... Like, it almost felt like its own clan, rather than being a sub-clan, as it were. So that's kind of what I didn't like about it. But then, like, a week before Worlds... This is a funny story, actually. So a week before Worlds, after testing Deleter, someone on the UK Facebook group for Vanguard was like, oh, I'm selling this Deleter deck. And I was like, oh, we've been testing that online. Let me see how much he's selling it for. It's, you know, like, I wouldn't mind having it just to have, you know. If nothing else, just to round out the Link Joker collection. And I was asking, messaging me a PM, like, how much he's selling for. He goes, yeah, I'm selling it for this much. And it was, like, it was way overpriced. Like, he had priced it, like, double of what it was worth. So I was like, man, that seems a bit high. I'll offer you this much for it. And I offered him, like, straight up market price, you know, comparing. He was looking at, like, TCG Player and Card Market and, like, very, you know, eBay and other various sites. And I was like, yeah, like, here's what it actually comes to if I was to buy, build this online myself. So here's what I'll offer you for. And he's like, nah, that's too little. I'm like, all right, man, suit yourself. And I showed him the screenshots, like, you know, like, look, man, your pricing given at, like, $15 and it's, like, $8 a copy. And I showed him screenshots and he was like, you know, if it's so cheap, build it yourself. And I was like, sure, I'll do that. So in an act of nothing but raw spite,
love it.
And built a deleter.
The best motivator.
Yeah, I built deleters myself for half the price that he was asking. And the next thing I realized, I was like, oh, I guess I own deleters now. Sure, I guess.
Did you DM him a picture of like your receipts from all the places you ordered from? And be like, okay, you asked for it.
Thanks for the advice.
I thought about it, but that would have been too petty.
Aw, come on. Some of the best things in life are made through spite.
Yeah, so that's. I ended up with deleters, and then going, you know, from that point onwards, we had various. It was all right, but it wasn't amazing. Like, you know, it was tier 1.5, and then we had. Eventually, we had Rondo, which gave it a lot of boost, and then Stargate gave it a huge boost, and it was really good for a point in time. But I just never really, like. It was never my cup of tea. Like, it was always the least favorite child of the three, unfortunately.
Yeah. Man, it would really suck if they were, like, the main archetype for the beginning of the reboot or something.
I think if deleters had been, like, the main leading joker throughout the entirety of reboot, I probably would have given up at this point. Straight up, honestly.
Understandable.
I mean, like, I say that as someone who's invested in, you know, a place of ORs and... I have all 8 VDRs, you know, so it's all there. It's just a case of, like, they just sit in the binder, and it's the Messiah and the Chaoses that are actually sleeved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Bougerode is stupid enough to not bring back, you know, their Messiahs and their Chaos stuff. It's
the archetypes people actually liked.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm kind of split on that, like... Obviously, I'd like to see Messiah and Chaos finally be good in premium for once.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it would be unfair for us to get preferential treatment when everyone else is bitching about nostalgia milking already.
Or they could make new units. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I'm totally down for that.
See, we just need to have weird copyright issues with every existing archetype in the game, so they'll be forced to be creative.
Because that's what happened with Amon, yeah?
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I think Link Joker is one of the very few... Like, Link Joker and Narukami... I'm trying to think of anything else. Link Joker. So, one of the weirdest issues I saw moving from Limit Break to Legion to G was this weird, like... It was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was an inconsistent support of archetypes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Link Joker has been carrying the Star Vader name for God knows how long,
mm-hmm.
until G format. And same with Narukami's Eradicators. They've been carrying that name. You know, it was one of the few like combined archetypes across Limit Break and Legion. And I think like, you know, DP has it with D-Robo. Not much else comes to mind.
Gold Paladin with
Liberator, yeah.
Yeah. Right? Genesis with, you know, witches and maybe a little less so, but
yeah. And then obviously all of these, they eventually got some support in G, but it was like, it was really weird how, you know, Royals went from whatever they were to whatever they like to something else. And it's this like Bushiro's insistence on named archetype support made it really weird to like print good cards. And mm-hmm. so that, you know, I just didn't remember this. Like, there was a point where I was playing during early G, and I was like, let me try and build an old deck just for fun's sake. And I, you know, I was like, man, I like Schwarzschild a lot. You know, Schwarzschild's my favorite card ever. Let me go rebuild an old deck for that. And I'm just looking through all the Link Joker Grade 2s. I'm like, well, I can't play Photon because I'm not a Star Vader Vanguard. I can't play Radon because I'm not a Star Vader Vanguard. I can't play this because I'm not a Star Vader. Colony Maker doesn't search, like, only searches half my grade ones. It was like, man, why isn't Schwarzschild a Star Vader? And I was just, I remember being like, oh my god, this, like, that ruined my day, basically. And you know, it's nice to see that they almost abandoned that for G-Series, for V-Series, up until Craven Claw got spoiled. And then we went back to the same problem all over again.
No, they still had that problem for, like, mid-Viera support around the Excel meta, where, like, Aqua Force cards specifically only supported Last Card Revan, or
specifically
named Dragonic Vanquisher, which is why the new one has to also be named Dragonic Vanquisher specifically.
Oh yeah, that for sure, that's a problem. But it's like, it's a more acceptable problem, because at least they're a lot harsher on that. Like, you know, like, it has to have this specific card in your Vanguard, so who's like, okay, sure, like, it's all about this thing. It's not like, because the problem with Star Vader compared to specifically Dragonic Vanquisher, right, is that Star Vader is generic enough that it should basically just not be there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it actually makes a difference. Whereas, you know, with Dragonic Vanquisher, realistically, that's not even going to make a difference. Now, that's kind of what ticks me off about it. It's like, I could play this, but then, compared to, like, you know,
yeah,
like the Claret support, like, I'm always going to be on Claret, so it doesn't actually matter.
Hmm.
Yeah, clan selection has been pretty bad about just, we're going to introduce a bunch of new random archetypes, but they're only going to get 3 cards, so you can't possibly make a deck out of it.
Except for the Battle Sisters, where you get to play, like, a random 8K vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's almost like that when they introduced the Clan Selection Plus, they're like, this is for premium, where you had your support before.
What is it?
Maybe, or yeah. Maybe.
Well, like half these cards aren't even good in premium.
Yeah, or.
I mean, yeah. What's the word? The thought was there at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I guess is all that counts.
I mean, it's sad because, like, you know, the great Zirconium is incredible in premium. Like, that's one of my favorite cards that have been printed in a long, long time. Because mm-hmm. for once, it's locking. It's an initial lock that isn't Vanguard only. Like that's. That's legitimately groundbreaking.
Why? Because almost all the cards are like, if they have a locked card, do this. Right?
Yeah. No, every other first lock is Vanguard centric.
Mm.
Even going back as far as like Mobius Breath.
I didn't actually realize that.
Mm-hmm. Like you had stuff like there was a few things that could lock on Rearguard Circle, like Singularity Sniper, Malepton. But they had a lot, like, they had really high costs or, like, an extra hoop to jump through and it wasn't really reliable.
Right.
So, yeah, Zirconium is like, whew, this is pretty good. It's just a shame that, you know, it's surrounded by a lot of questionable quality.
Mm.
In standard format or just in general?
Just in general, like, it's... Oh. I think that's always been my issue with how they've approached the design. Especially like in V series, like the fact that lock wasn't brought back since the beginning of V series. Like I was talking about this with Solemn a long, long time ago, and we were saying how like it's a shame that you know, and I'm gonna paraphrase his words, but use slightly harsher language here.
Okay.
And it's like it's a shame how Bushiro just decided to dick suck the casual player like since the beginning of V format because lock is so like uncasual. Because, you know, like I said, like any good player eventually learns how to play around lock and deals with it as a quote unquote problem. Mm-hmm. Whereas new players or like casual players, they run into it, they get stomped, they complain, and then at the end of the day, Bushiroad loses a customer. Like that is the unfortunate truth. And so I get the fact that you know they're like we want as many people to play our game as possible, so they made it a lot easier, a lot more appealing, but in doing so they made it less appealing for the top percentage of players who are like, oh, this is, you know, here's a problem that I don't get to face every single day, let me figure out how to solve it.
I think that's a thing with the player base in general, especially with how fast new sets, and especially ban lists where they're almost at not at random, but just whenever, coming from Bushiroad, there's almost a need or an inability by the player base to problem solve and to just have a problem for a while. Whenever a deck like wins a few events, they're like, kill it now. It needs to die now. I'm like, it's been out for like a month. Relax. You know, I come from Yu-Gi-Oh! That like when a deck tops an event, sure, usually that ends up being the thing that gets the axe on the next ban list, but there's like a, you know, anywhere between a 4 and a 6 month period where you're stuck with it. And sure, that may be a thing, but you know it's you know the next ban list is coming. Whereas because we don't know when it's coming from Bushiroad, it's almost reactive instead of proactive. It it makes a feckless player base.
Nah, man, Angel Feather is the most broken thing ever. We have to destroy it immediately.
See what I mean?
it's even more damaging as well, especially because, you know, with the most recent fiascos of Luard and Gurgit, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I think those two were actually problems, like massive problems. But then, you know, that, like, if you consider those to be true positives, then we've had just as many false positives over the last year and a half, like, you know, hitting Cho to 2 or you know, hitting Angerblader to 1. So like when legitimate problems like that occur, it becomes a lot harder to tell like when it's an actual problem versus when the people are just bitching.
So it's like a Boy Who Cried Wolf scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes the first response for people when things like, when like new strong decks come out, to like ban it.
Kill it.
And like, saw this in Magic when they started banning like a whole bunch of cards. Everyone just wanted like at the next best thing to be banned. They get a ban Embercleave and they're like, no.
It's even more annoying because, so, it's actually, because with Bushiroad, we actually do get scared, like, Bushiroad does actually have, like, a schedule window for their ban list. Like, it's twice a year, once at the end of the WGP season, which is usually, like, you know, the February one that we got early this year because of trying to save emergency. And then we usually get one in, like, the September to November timeframe, which usually coincides with either the start of the season or like the end of the summer season. I think the summer season in Japan changes every now and again, so it's not super consistent, but we are always promised 2 ban list announcements a year. And you remember, like, there was a point in G where we had like 2 or 3 ban lists in a row where it was just no changes, because we had that with Wise as well. So they do, like, we can expect like 2 semi-regular ban lists a year. The problem is that the way they approach them is that they only start thinking about them like a month or two in advance. It's not like, oh, there's a problem in January, so which means we're going to address in February. It's not like we're going to keep an eye on it, see how it plays out over the summer, and then ban it in September. It's just, okay, no, people are, you know, this is an immediate problem, boom. It's just like, it's just a straight away thing rather than like a slow, gradual process.
It also confuses me that they're willing to ban cards, like random cards, because they think there'll be problems. And so you just have decks that like don't exist. Like, the biggest example of this was when they banned Commander Laurel when G Era started in Japan. They hit it to 1, I think.
Yeah.
And then in English, they never did that. So you had this deck that existed in English with Sinbuster. And then Japan just never had that deck because they had Laurel 1. You're just like, this deck wasn't even like, I mean, this deck was like really good. I just don't think it was like
a huge problem.
Yeah. Especially not if your G-Guards came out, but like, you know, it won an event or two in English and that's like it.
Yeah, another recent example is Flanger, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, nowadays, Night Rose wouldn't even run that card if it could.
Wait,
yeah, it's like they'd be the Frankenstein guy.
The what?
The Frankenstein guy.
That's like 12k, yeah. Had a guard restrict.
Yeah. What was the reason that they did that in the first place?
It was, I think... So the reason they banned that and Variant's Hardleg was preemptive, because this was like a month or 3 weeks before VBT09 came out. Mm-hmm. So they were expecting Shaharit and Nightrose to be really, really good decks.
Oh, because they just attack.
Exactly. So they just gimped the quote unquote finishing power of those decks. Mm-hmm. So like Hardleg was fine to ban. I don't mind, like, so people were annoyed about it, but you know, I think DI is already just a time bomb waiting to go off. But with Grand Blue, it's like, sure, but at the same time, like, is making a Frank really better than just swinging with a 60k Skull Dragon? I don't think mm-hmm. so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, in the case of Flanger, he's an axe skill. And with the multi-attack in Nairos, it dies and then you call it back. So it's not like you're doing that twice. Whereas in DIs, it's a restand, which is different.
Also, isn't Hard Legs for like the whole turn?
Yeah, it's on, yes. On play, three different cards, three different names when you he or she. So it's just the whole turn for everybody, looks like.
Yeah.
So that's. So again, like, that's why I don't mind Hard Leg still being gone, because it's by far the more egregious card. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Flanger just seems a little. It's excessive. They said in a Link Joker episode.
I'm surprised they remembered to unban Cho-O in this ban list.
Yeah, we brought it up during the episode where we talked about it, where it was like that kid who's been in timeout too long. They're like, "Oh, you're still here? I'm sorry. Go outside. You're fine. You're fine. Sorry. Hope he's not mad with us." You know.
And Vanquisher is doing good right now, I think. So
it's just funny how Vanquisher has been playing zero Cho-O for the longest time. So it's like, cool. EDD gets to play four again, I guess.
Yeah. I was thinking about when they first hit it, I'm like, this is probably not what I would do, but it was like a pretty easy ban list to do almost nothing. And they're like, oh, here's like four things.
Yeah.
Vanquisher getting the lightest hit. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
Okay.
Very bizarre. What's your favorite version of Link Joker that you've played in premium Ooh. Format? Or just, Ooh. Yeah.
In general.
Well, not premium, yeah. So back in G.
Yeah.
And this is like... Yeah, so back during the Stargate era, mm-hmm. there was a build of Messiah that was mega combo focused. And I love that, because it was just... Like, that was a literal 10-minute turn. I think it's also, to this date, still the most viewed video on the Yellow Card Vanguard channel.
Oh, really?
Which is, you know, exactly... Yeah, it's like humongous amount of views, which is incredible. And obviously the combo's outdated now, because like half of those cards aren't playable anymore.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, so me and... So one of my friends in the UK, Kalen, who has also been, you know... He's known throughout Europe as being that guy who won two standard events in one season. He's also, like, a big Messiah fan. And he linked me, like, this Twitter video of, like... I think it was, like, some Japanese or some Korean player... showing off like a very small combo with Natalia Messiah and Dunamis. Oh, and I was like, this is cool, but we can take this even further. And so he and I, you know, we brainstormed a thing, and then he sent me a video where he discovered we can do it with Awaking. And, you know, we fiddled with the list back and forth, and we settled on this list that on the second stride could hit you up to eight times, requiring a total shield value of over 200,000k shield.
That's a lot of shield.
Yeah, because what you do is you have two Awaking Messiahs, which you then lock using the PG from Drop Zone, the new one, and then you would boost with Unamis. Unamis would lock itself to unlock a Awaking in the front row, which would obviously restand the Metalia.
Yeah.
Then the Awaking column would attack, also boosted by Unamis. So that Unamis would lock itself, unlocking another Awaking behind the Vanguard to restand the Metalia once again. Then you'd attack with Vanguard, and we had now Basaltis, which could both lock and unlock at the same time. So you would re-lock the Awakings and unlock the Dunamises and repeat again. And the entire time, Metalia would get huge because it gains 3k whenever something gets locked or unlocked.
Yeah.
So you just had this, like, snowball effect of it's going to stand five times and it's going to get really, really, really big every time.
So and you basically just did the Sazanda effect, but in Link Joker instead of Nova Grabber.
Pretty much, yeah. And that was, like, that was super fun to me. Like when we figured out that we could do that, and we figured out, like, okay, so it's plus 12 this time, then plus 12 again, then plus 24 on the third stand, then plus another another four from the Unamis, plus two from this. It got, you know, it was like, we were talking like plus 12 five or six times, including, and then triggers. And it was like, man, these are like some ridiculous, like, these are like DP levels of numbers at that point. You know, no one had ever broken like 50 or 60k on one attack before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, whoa, this feels good. And obviously now 60k is like Lamau, whatever. What, but back then, it was like, back then it was new ground.
Yeah, what with the 10, 15k shield triggers, yeah, and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite, like, the most interesting Link Joker's ever been, because it was the most combo-oriented style ever,
mm-hmm,
and this time you actually had the pieces to, like, support the combo, which was great.
How consistent was it?
Not mega consistent, unfortunately, because you needed to have two Awakings, two Dunamis, a Metalia, and a PG in your drop zone. So there's a lot of parts involved in getting there.
So it's a six-card combo?
Yeah.
I remember Awakening being, like, super important for all the nonsense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't, like, an amazing deck, but if you played it, like, smart enough, you know, if you played it patiently, then you could get off fairly soon. Like I said, you know, you only need to have GB2 to really, like, start going, so you could G-guard into it. But the main thing that made it work is that, like, when I was playing it at, like, you know, locals and stuff, people still had this notion of, like, oh, man, it's Link Joker. I need to be, like, you know, walking on eggshells here. And so that would just get, that was giving me all the time I needed.
Oh, my God. One thing that sucks about trying to look up cards, like, just on the Link Joker page on the Wikia is that it all kind of starts the same, right?
You have a massive cluster of Star Vader, yep.
Massive cluster of Star Vader, massive cluster, like, something Messiah of this, or Lady Battler of that, or whatever. It's a thing. I was, like, running around looking at the effects while he was listing them, like, Dunamis this, and Awakening that, and Metalia this. It's a lot of stuff I haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, after seeing this chaos stuff come out and being mildly disappointing, I will put a link to that rant video in the description, because it's very well thought out. It was like, what, almost an hour?
Well, I think the rant section was...
Oh, no, the rant section was like, maybe like, what?
30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, and then you had, yeah, like, testing and stuff, too.
Yeah, the rest of the stream is like 2 or 3 hours long, yeah.
What would you be hoping that they get coming up in Overdress or anything?
I think I'd like to see an overhaul, to be honest.
An overhaul? Like,
yeah, so the thing about Link Joker is that it's always been a very Vanguard-centric clan, like, in every sense of the term. Like, you know, all the lock, when you're playing Star Vaders, all your locking comes from the Vanguard, all your power comes from Vanguard effects.
Mm-hmm.
In Messiah, all your locking and unlocking comes from the Vanguard only. And in Deleter, the ability to delete your opponent comes from the Vanguard only. Mm-hmm. So it's... And then it pays for that by having garbage rear guards. And the problem is that, unlike other Vanguard-centric clans such as Kagero or Dimension Police, the Vanguard itself is not enough to get there. So, you know, like, the biggest example I have of this was back during 2017 Springfest, I think? 2017 or 2016. I was playing Springfest, and I was playing Chaos. And, you know, it was a Springfest. It was a tournament I originally wasn't planning to play in. I only went to the event to take my judge test. But then they told us, oh, we're doing judge tests at the end of the day, so you might as well take part. And then I ended up somehow, like, you know, barely missing top 6, top 8 by, like, you know, a few tiebreaker points, which was super weird. I was playing Chaos at the time. And back then, this was like this was Fighters Collection Chaos. So this was GBT, like GB8 cards had just come out that weekend. And you know, Link Joker's win, Chaos's win con was just stall until GB8, wipe their board, and then make them lock 5 from hand. And it was like, it was the win con that got me there. You know, I went like X2 throughout the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the entire time, my rear guard columns never, ever, ever getting past 21k. It would always be 16 on this column, 26 or maybe 33 on Vanguard column, and then 16 plus one or two triggers on the other column. And every single, like, I never won a game by pushing my opponent to 6, ever. Well, not legitimately, like, eventually I got them to 6, but it wasn't through, like, just regular turns. It was always, I'm going to rip 5 cards out of your hand with the GB8, and then you're just going to take all this damage because you can't guard any of it. not just, you know, like, making a thing that you can't answer and break through, literally just taking away your ability to answer. And it's always been, like, it's pretty much that's always been throughout the entirety of Link Joker's history, like, with the exception of the Metallia combo, Messiah's columns are always just, here's an 11k Arrester, followed by a 26k Fencer, and then here's my Vanguard, which has plus 20k and a crit. Cool. And then here are the 16k columns again.
Yeah, and then they're like, I've already taken 2 triggers on damage, so, yeah. Or just, here's a couple of 5Ks. Delita
was the same way, right? Delita was like, oh, here's my 12k attacker, and then here's my 21k Vanguard against your 0 with a stand trigger. I stand my 12k attacker, and then here's a 16k given, which re-stands my 21k Vanguard, and then his Vanguard again. And then, oh look, here's another stand trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, the rear guards were just, you know, we were playing, like, what, Gatario, 10k attacker, you know, Evo, which was just a 9k searcher. Like, it was only quote-unquote strong because your opponent was on 0 power.
I mean, if it wins, it wins, right?
Oh yeah, like, it was fine. I'm not knocking the fact that, you know, it got the job done. I would just like to see, like, either commit, like, an overhaul in that, either commit fully to being a Vanguard-centric and make a deck completely not reliant on rear guards at all, or spread the power out a bit more and make us be forced to think about the game plan. You know, like, take Kagra, for example, right? The Cross could easily win a game with no rear guards.
Yep.
I think, you know, to an, like, with the exception of Laurel, to an extent, DP could as well. You know, you just Break Ride, Legion, check a grade through, and your opponent dies. Like, you don't need to have rear guards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, even Laurel, I think, still fits the bill, because it doesn't matter what your rear guards are, as long as...
You just, yeah, you just have right. Random yeah, exactly. Crap to rest.
Yeah, you have warm bodies, it doesn't matter. It could be, like, somehow the opponent gives you a plant token, still stuff you can rest, it doesn't matter.
Good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, either put them on that level, where I don't actually care about my rear guards, I just, you know, swing with, like, some fat Vanguard while, you know, controlling your resources or your board, or make it to the point where the rear guards are the things that either lock stuff or gain mass amounts of power, and less responsibility is given to the Vanguard skills, as it were. Like, you know, look at how much text is on Chaos. Like, it doesn't need, like, the new Chaos, it doesn't need to have that much text, realistically speaking.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of the power from the new cards go to Chaos. Like, Zirconium, if you don't get a back row lock, gives a crit to your Vanguard, and then Chaos itself gets, like, 10k, so...
Yeah, like, all the responsibility that the Ray Guards have gotten recently have been making your Vanguard work. Like, Craven Claw is the perfect example, right? Like, the deck as it is right now in Standard is so reliant on seeing Craven Claw to actually, like, pull ahead so that it doesn't lose to the force markers you give your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it should be. Like, it shouldn't be, I need to have Craven Claw or I lose. It should be, Craven Claw makes this deck really, really good.
I guess that's the problem with giving your opponents force markers and also only having 3 cards of support to do this in, where the rest of all of Link Joker that involved locking was just yourself, because they were so afraid of locking the opponent the entire time.
Yeah.
Because people hate it that much. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I wasn't, or am not, this person. I don't like having my stuff locked. But that doesn't mean it's not healthy for the game when used correctly.
I don't like losing, so I think any game where I lose is not healthy for the game.
It's okay, I'm used to just playing.
Congratulations, you are now the average Vanguard player.
I forgot to bring this up earlier, but back when V first started, I was a very naive person, and I thought that they would bring back lock simply because Excel was like, oh, they're making Excel circles so that you can lock stuff and still have like things to do, or you know, make like lock weaker in some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that was just not the case. Apparently they're like, no.
We're gonna randomly make Link Joker into Narukami for a couple of sets.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. How could I should have known.
Why is that exactly? Do we have a good reason, or is it just they just kind of did it because why not?
I mean, like, Vanish Delete was always a thing, but, like, randomly shoving it onto Schwarzschild was just like, what?
Oh, no, sorry, I meant the not having lock despite Excel being a thing.
I think they were afraid of turning away players from the game, like, because Reboot was meant to, you know, be like, oh, you know, it's like, Vanguard is now really easy and really simple and really fun. And lock, like, you know, I'm not going to die. Lock goes against all of those things, for sure.
They're like, what do you mean I can't use the circle? I can't put anything there? That's preposterous.
Yeah, like, this isn't Vanguard. Come on. I mean, so I'm not that upset about it in context, because, you know, like, we sacrificed good things so that everyone else could have good things. So if you look at it from that point of view, you know, it's... sacrificing one to save the many is... That's why I'm not upset about it. I'm like, sure, everyone else got to have their fun. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or just play premium and you get all your stuff anyway.
Oh man, if only it were that easy.
I don't know, I've quite enjoyed it. Even if the only people I really get to play with are... my friends here in LA, which again can't really do that until I get my second round of the vaccine. But it's like I did a premium match with Commander Jaime on his channel. Got my ass kicked, but you know it's the principle of the thing that matters. Like I had more fun with that than I do playing standard, where you're like, all right, I get to pay 2 discards and 4 counterblasts to restand this one thing. Yay!
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I really enjoy about Link Joker in the current premium format, which is, so pretty much ever since premium became a thing, Link Joker's always been the quote-unquote victim of the format, like, because we have all the tools to, like, do what we need to do, but we never get the chance to actually go out and do it because other decks are just better or faster or more threatening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Freeze Ray has been like, you know, the staple part of the clan in premium for so long, because it's the only way that we get to play a fair game. And it's, you know, figuring out like, okay, this is my game plan. I'm trying to accomplish this with these cards, but I also need to not die to Murakumo on turn 3. And I also need to not die to DI on turn 4. And I also need to not give Bermuda damage until turn 3. And so it's like, you now have to be much more reactive. It's not like Neo Nectar or Ezreal back before their bans, where there's like, I'm going to do this and put my dick on the table and you're going to respond to it. It's you were always the one responding to their dick on the table.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind of puzzle solving is like, I really enjoy that when it comes to deck building, you know, being like, okay, this deck is going to do this to me, what can I do about it? That deck is going to do that to me, what can I do about it? Rather than just shove in 50 cards that accelerate this game plan.
Mm-hmm. Like, Solemn Vanguard put out a video on his channel a few days ago, and he did it when I asked him if he had any premium Isabel lists, because I kind of wanted to see what he had going for him. He disappears for a few hours and he's like, it's up on my channel, go watch. Which is like simultaneously the most lazy and somehow the most solemn thing for him to do, where instead of like just giving me the list on paper, he's like, here, I just made the thing for everybody. Just go check it out.
High effort, low effort.
At the same time, somehow.
Whoa. That's smart, right?
Yeah. Get some views, get some advertising dollars. I'm not blaming him. In any case, the way the deck works is you just hyper go into the Restand Talent and Rhinos over and over again until they die. They do this by, they're running four Hanalees, four of the Cray Elemental that's like a perfect guard for grade two and below Vanguards, the rock guy, and then the grade three that on Isabel becomes like a Denial Griffin when you G-guard with it. So he goes, you just focus on the defensive aspects of it and restand Rhino till they die. That's it. There is nothing else to it. There's no mics, there's no duckbills, there's no, no big belly rear guards that kind of do a crayon. None of that. Just don't die and then kill them on turn five or whenever that is.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And as far as I can tell, it's worked pretty well. I've tried against a couple of friends. Apparently, there's a couple of glaring weaknesses against like these anti-meta decks that don't really put on a lot of pressure, and then like your Denial Griffin stuff doesn't really affect them all that much because they have like a slow ramp up too.
I mean, that's the thing, like Great Nature can afford to do that though, right? Because all you need is Rhino and maybe a Crayon Tiger, and then Balrog does the rest.
Yeah,
whereas we can't really afford to do that, because like anytime you start, like the moment you mention the word chaos, I now have to think about, you know, do I want to play Closed? Do I have to play Penrose Gates? I have to play Zinx. Do I want to play Photons? Do I want to play this? And, you know, like, if I don't play any of, like, these cards, if I take that strategy and, you know, fill up with, like, Cray Elementals and Honolies and cards that just keep me alive, like, I don't have that win con. What's my win con? I poke you with my 28k Vanguard.
Yeah.
With no inherent plus drive or plus crit. Same with Messiah. I have to play some number of Sacrifice. I have to play some number of Gnamis, both of which are 5k shield grade ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have to play, you know, I definitely have to play a thing about playing Freeze Rays, because that keeps me alive until I can get to GB3 with Integral. Like, the Wincon is so much less defined, because I think, you know, both Messiah and Chaos are very much in this. Also, Messiah is very much in the midpoint of the scale of Rear Guard Reliant versus Vanguard Reliant, where you're primarily Vanguard Reliant, but your Rear Guards win you the game. And then Chaos, you're entirely Vanguard Reliant, but then you have no win the game. Like, you have no solid win the game, like no inevitability. So all these other decks, they can just do whatever they want and like play these cards that keep them alive because they know that they can win the game somehow. Like, I don't know that. I don't know if I'm going to win the game. I know that I'm going to freeze ray and lock maybe one of your guys and then try to survive. And then, once it gets, like, turn 5 or turn 6 as Link Joker, it's like that Plankton meme. It's like, I don't know. I didn't think I'd get this far.
Yeah. It seems like the best way to do it would be Stark, maybe. Like, you just wear them down over the course of the thing, like, rip cards out of their hand with the Chaos Strides and lock their board and slow them down, and maybe that ends. I literally don't know. It's Link Joker is kind of the least amount of expertise that I have next to Bermuda Triangle, but
that's what I'm here for.
Exactly.
I mean, Stark's not a bad plan. Like, I did have a list that focused on the Stark. Mm-hmm. I've only tested like one or two games with it, and it's fine. Again, it's just that case of, like, once you start actively defining a win con, getting to that point then becomes the hard part. Like, if you say, I want to get to this point, getting there is easy. Like, you can't have both worlds. Like, you know, I can say, like, I can play Freeze Rays and Honolies and, like, survive, and then I don't have stuff to make Stark threatening. Mm-hmm. Or I can make it so that the moment I hit Stark, I win the game, but then getting there becomes a problem.
Yes.
And again, that's why, like, you know, there's, like, I think I've tweeted, like, two or three variants of the Glendios list now. Like, I still think that's probably the best way to play Chaos, because you just have, that gives you the card draw and the board control you need to stay alive. And then Glendios is at least a win con that you don't have to work too hard for. You just play Glendios in your deck, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys do have something like Chaos Breaker Deluge, which, you know, rips cards out of the opponent's hand and gives them a damage.
Yeah, but it rips two cards out of their hand, which makes so much difference when people are drawing seven cards a turn. Yep.
Average.
Yeah. That made it sound like, because from my end, it like the sound receded, so it sounded like Matt was laughing as he was walking away from the microphone. Like, I'm gonna go get a drink. That was so dumb. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know, compared to current premium, where it's like, you know, oh, Murakumo rides grade 3 and then your life ends, or yeah. Aquaforce draws 10 cards while attacking you 5 times.
Yeah, and then, you know, they Pale also Moon have a, like, yeah. What's it called, that G-Guard that lets them unlock their stuff, or Pale Moon has a Stride that pulls in their locked cards anyway, so it's not like your defensive measures of locking their board matters all that much.
Exactly.
Draw over Rinna. Or not Rinna.
Or like, you know, even Harry doesn't even need that that line of text on the Harry Stride is so irrelevant, because what, like, no matter what, you're not going to be locking their stage Axel. So at the end of the day, you will at some point have to deal with a 50k crit Pop Dragon.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with that because you just don't have the resources.
Yeah, and also it shuts off Sentinels by that point. So.
Exactly.
Good luck.
This is what I mean when I say that, you know, Link Joker is a victim of premium, where you're never the one calling the shots. You always have to play on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be nice to, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to be the one calling the shots, because I had that with Luard. Like, I played Luard for a long time in premium,
mm-hmm.
and it was the go-to deck when I wanted to win locals, because it could do that, because it just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to not have to think as hard about my card choices and play cards that I actually want to play rather than cards that I have to play.
It's a good sum up.
Mm. Like, I can only think of one time in all of my time playing Link Joker where I got to play cards that I wanted to play rather than cards I had to play, and that was at the very beginning, you know, during the Schwarzschild format, where I could play Schwarzschild and not get laughed at. Because it wasn't that bad an option. And then by the time Glendios came out, it was like, there were so many cards that you had to play. You only had like one or two slots for the stuff that you wanted to play.
Damn. So, you want like a full reboot of the whole clan, or just the Chaos stuff?
I think it'd be nice. So, even though I complained earlier about, you know, the fact that Link Joker is actually just three clans stood on top of each other wearing a suit, yeah. I wouldn't mind, like, starting from scratch and, you know, introducing just a brand new fourth archetype for Link Joker, as long as this time it's unified. So, like, you know, no Messiah, no Deleter, no Star Vader, just something else, but all of it works together no matter what.
So you mean like Star Hulks?
I mean, if they were consistent about it, I wouldn't mind. I mean, look at like Kagura, for example, right? You could shove any random like handful of Kagura cards together, and you could get away with calling it a functional deck. Like, you know, like an example would be Doha Garen, right? Doha Garen are clearly meant to be Blade Master cards because mm-hmm. Blade Master asks for them by name. But you could shove them into an Overlord deck. It would be bad, but you could do it.
You'd get like random plus one from it, right?
Yeah, like, or, you know, you could shove like random, like, you could shove Illuminal Dragon into a Victor deck.
Yep.
Like, that works. That does work. I don't think it's good, but it works. But, like, you know, I can't shove Harmonix Messiah into a Chaos list. That just doesn't work.
No, you cannot.
Not even close.
Well, that's kind of what I want. Just like, you know, just the ability to be like, you know, when I'm brainstorming a new deck for Link Joker, I want to be able to open up the wiki page and not immediately exclude half the cards on the list.
Yeah, that I can agree with that. It's really frustrating, and they do it to like clans with like limited support too, which like really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's split this stuff up, and you're like, yep. But why?
Like, it works for clans like Bermuda, where everything's viable in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
But for stuff like, you know, Link Joker, Mega Colony, Genesis, where you're already, like, you know, struggling for, like, space. It's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, Link Joker and Metacolony.
I'll take my half a card and be happy with it.
Link Joker and Metacolony have more in common, not just with the theme of stunning the opponent's board. It's been like a bit of a struggle. I think Link Joker has, in general, been better off than Metacolony, but it still looks like more of a problem than it is. I'm sure somebody has like a bunch of recorded episodes from the past 5 years of me going like, Link Joker's broken! You know. But I think all things considered, it hasn't been that much of an issue with like competitive balance, except for maybe the end of G era.
Even end of G was not that broken. Like honestly, original Chaos, when everyone else was running reverse units, I think that was the only time in the history of Vanguard that Link Joker's ever been legitimately tier 1. I don't think I would ever put Link Joker in tier 1 in any other time frame, ever. Which is really sad to me to say out loud, but that's how it is. Like, sometimes it's been tier 1.5, sometimes it's been like a rogue pick, like you know, when Messiah was good, or when Glendios was good. But it's never been like
the thing.
Like, I would never expect to see it in top 8 of a BCS.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can generally agree with that. It's been always, like, right on the cusp, but never, like, outright the Bidoof, or, you know, one of the Bidoofs.
Yeah.
Well, all we can do is hope better for them, and by that I mean they can go fuck themselves.
Wow.
Atlas. Hey, there's a lot of hurt there. No, I'm sorry. I'm joking.
I mean, I'm all for the reduced number of clans in Vanguard strategy, and I'm more than willing to accept that Link Joker will be one of the casualties of that strategy.
So if they were to get like absorbed by something, what would they become?
I would absolutely not mind having a few Messiah cards in Nova Grappler.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so this is, I think, 3 guests that we've had that have been like, come on, like, you know, let's pare down the number of clans we have.
Oh, I've been on this train for a long time.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Yeah.
Put the Messiahs in Nova Grappler. Put the Star Vaders in Dimension Police. So now Nova Grappler, so that way Nova Grapplers and Dimension Police both have quote-unquote control aspects to them now.
Remove the leaders because they're in Dimension Police.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, why not?
Yeah, episode 192 if you want more details.
You make Dimension Police and Nova Grappler richer as clans, and you make it so that, you know, people just have to buy less cards.
Yeah, because if Messiah is all about the restand, and yada yada yada. Anyway, Zistral, thank you so much for coming on Nexus at Night.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Yeah, where can people find you out there on the internet?
Yeah, so probably the best way to get in contact with me is through Twitter, which is... So, my personal Twitter, I just use for retweeting anime pictures. So that's probably not the most appropriate place. So, you know, if you want to talk to me as a person, I'm down. You know, I'm open to contact. But if you want to talk about Vanguard specifically, I'd recommend going through the Yellow Card Vanguard Twitter or the YouTube channel, which I'm sure you'll drop links down.
There will indeed be links in the description for all this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like. YouTube uploads aren't super consistent, but that's because I always, like, I'm a big fan of making, like, educational content, or, like, you know, very high-level theory content, which doesn't resonate super well with everybody, and it requires a lot of planning, and, like, I have to, like, really find a script, you know. Like, for every video I upload, there's 3 videos I edited that I just choose not to upload because they end up not, they end up not conveying any good message or end up not being, having any good content in them. And then for every video that I edit, there's, like, 5 or 6 scripts that I've written that I just, like, does this really matter to anybody? Like, so yeah, video uploads aren't very much regular. Usually at the moment it's just like stream VODs. But if you want to watch, you know, the streams where I play premium and rip my hair out, then that's, you know, my Twitch.tv/Zistral is where I stream under Yellow Card Vanguard as. And then failing that, I'm pretty accessible on most card game Discords. Not every Vanguard Discord, because there's too many of those to join and take part in that I'd rather not.
Oh yeah.
But I'm pretty easy to find on Discord if you just look hard enough and you know where to look for me.
You play the magic flute, he comes out of the bushes, yo, you flute me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. guys, what about you? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse.
And you can find me at Atlas Novak, Twitter, Instagram. You can also find the show at Nexus at Night in the same places. Or if you want to help support the show, patreon.com/nexusatnight. We also want to give a shout out to our $10 patrons, Darren and Cole. Thanks everybody for listening. We will see you next time. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
I've been Zistral as well. Thank you very much.
And have a good night, everybody.